The rest of us, let's get out our word here this morning. This is fun, isn't it? Isn't it fun? We love to see good things happening to good people. God is good. He's kind and amazing. And it is going to be a good year. Let's say that together. It is going to be a good year. Again, it is going to be a good year. Eddie Evans in Ethiopia, it is going to be a good year for you. Dr. Camille Bishop, all you, the wonderful things you do, it's going to be a great, great year. Dr. Camille's finishing up her book. Y'all pray for her as she gets that out. So we're going to go into Psalm 65, but I'm going to take just a little moment before that to tee that up. But I want to speak to our expectation and faith today coming into 2016. And so things don't just happen. God marries His grace and power with our expectation and with our will. And so it's not a thing of works, but we gladly give God our energy and our commitment with an expectation that His grace will attend us, that His power will find us, and then great things begin to happen. So I just want to spark a spark of expectation for the new. Again, last week, if you weren't here, we talked about the windshield, which is looking forward, the rearview mirror, which is merely a glance of what's behind us. So again, 2015 is behind us, can't go back there and relive it, but there's this great unknown that's before us, and we have a role to play. God is sovereign, but He does need our buy-in, and He does need our yes, to say yes to His grace, His purpose, in His will. So, do we agree with that? Is that okay to say here so far today? Several times in the gospel narratives, you will find a pattern of Jesus making the statement on the front end of a miracle, and again, on the front end, and He will make the statement according to your faith, or be it done to you according to your faith. There are several instances in the gospel, and I think that He's looking for that cooperation and that agreement. It's not a matter of is He willing or able, but He wants us to have a little skin in the game. Are we here? And so we find one such instance in Matthew 9, 27 through 29. It reads here that Jesus went on from there. Two blind men followed Him, calling out. Now, that's a good thing. They were calling out. They were active. They were in the game, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him, and He asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then He touched their eyes and said, what? "According to your faith, let it be done to you." So again, that's interesting. He has all power, all grace, all ability. They're crying out to Him. He begins to pose the question, "Do you think I can do this?" Then good, based on that confession, just like when we baptize people, based on your confession of faith, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." Based on your confession that you believe that I really can and that I will, then according to that working within your heart, then here, be it done unto you. Pow, and the miracle takes place. Again, it's as if Jesus wants the recipient to have some skin in the game. He would come upon someone lame, crying out, and He would ask, "What would you have me do for you?" He could see that they were lame. It would be obvious, but He would still inquire, "What would you have me do for you?" He wanted their partnership in the forthcoming miracle. I believe there are forthcoming miracles for you and I this year. There are forthcoming miracles pertaining to those of you in the marketplace, for those of you that are needing financial blessing, for those that are believing for relational issues to go to the next level, that there are breakthroughs for you, that there is the clearing of the path, as it were. And ours is not a religion of works, yet our heart and will are important factors in saying yes to the grace of God and the power of God. Our involvement is required. Our confidence is in the Lord, but He allows us to come and He allows us to play the game with Him. And at the end of the day, when His provision comes, we're not confused in where it comes from, but He allows us the privilege of being in the yoke together with Him. We bring our will to the table. We bring our heart to the table. We bring our energies to the table. We bring our commitment to the table. And once we do that, we steel ourselves, and then we watch God work. Remember the children of Israel, they fled and left Egypt. They stood at the edge of the Red Sea. And Moses said in Exodus 14, 13, he said, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." But in order to see the miracle, they first had to willingly uproot from Egypt. And they had to flee Egypt. And they had to follow the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They had to do that. They had to follow the Lord, and they had to be involved in the purpose of the Lord. So again, they had what we would say, skin in the game. Everyone understands that, right? Skin in the game. They were there. They were out on a limb, as it were. The potential of what if is always out on the limb. The reason people don't look through the windshield and they like to remain in the rearview mirror is because what's out in front of the windshield has not yet happened yet. It's yet to be discovered. There's a mystery to it. There's uncharted territory. And so there's always a risk when we get up and we move. And that's why Moses prefaced his statement with, "Do not be afraid." Also, Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, spoke to King Jehoshaphat, along with all Judea and Jerusalem, when the Moabites and the Ammonites were waging war against them. He said in 2 Chronicles 20:17, he said, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear, be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." Now, do you see this connection here? There's a balance. There's a connection. The miracle and victory came from the Lord, but they still had to go out there. Do you see that? They still had to position themselves. They still had to take up a position, and they had to physically mount up, show up, which is 90% of life. Hello? All the great parenting books, they'll all say 99% of parenting is just showing up, just being there, you know. So they had to show up. Now, and again, it can feel a little bit hairy when you get out there. It's like, "All right, God, I'm here. We're lined up. There they are. They're bigger. We're under-equipped. They're over-equipped. But we're here." It's kind of like Elf, you know, or "I'm here." "And I'm with my dad, and I'm singing, and I'm here," you know. So we've got to be there. And it's like, anytime you want to come in, Dad, we have skin in the game. We're out there. And you may be thinking, "All right, I'm positioned. All right, I'm mounted up." That's our role in the equation. They still had to go out against them. They still had to go out against them. They still had to go out against them. There can be a false narrative pertaining to the sovereignty of God that's unbalanced. I know it's interesting when Charles Finney used to get up before a congregation and say, "You can come up, get off that anxious bench, and you can come up to this altar and get saved right now." People thought, "Oh, heresy, heresy. Only God can save. How can you tell them that they can get saved right now?" He said, "Because the scripture says now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation." And the hyper-Calvinist of the day would go, how dare you, a mere man, think that you could presume to declare that they could get saved? And so the aberrant thinking would go on and on. If God wants to save Africa, he'll do it. Really? He's never done it that way before, has he, Eddie? I mean, someone's got to raise their support. Someone's got to try to learn a new language. Someone's got to eat the indigenous food. Someone's got to live among them. There's sacrifice, but there's great joy and all the thrill of thinking I partnered with God. It was all his grace, all his power, all honor goes to him. But I still had to board a plane. I still had to get in the yoke. I still had to step out and, you know, feeling like a goober. I don't know anyone. I know that when we relocated to Guam back in 1992, we didn't know anybody. It was Elizabeth, myself, and 1 year Mary Ivy. That was it. Just kind of like, well, all right, I'm here, and I'm with my dad, and I'm singing, you know, and it's like, all right, we're here. Bought a car, got some insurance, moved into this condo. It's like, well, all right, we might as well start. So I thought, we're going to do the most abase thing there is to do in Christendom. We just started going door to door. Hi, I'm Taylor. We just moved here with our family, and we're planning this new work. Just go, you know, and they'd have these signs in front of these houses warning pit bull with AIDS, you know, stuff like that, you know, which wasn't real, but just, in other words, stay away. And there were these packs of boonie dogs. But I just thought, you know, it doesn't get any lower than that. But I just thought, all right, we're here. Now we got to get in the yoke. And then it was a thing of just calling teams down and getting evangelism going and that kind of a thing. But again, we have to be in the yoke. If we relegate it to God, God, move on my roommate. He can do that and he will. But there will be times where he says, could it be that maybe you're part of the equation and a part of the prayer? Lord, save my campus. Lord, touch our city. Lord, we pray that you interface here. Some things are left to prayer alone. There are other things that would require feet. So here with the people of God, they went out and they positioned themselves. They went out against them. If they had not done this, it would have been like a farmer praying for a certain harvest, yet having not plowed the land or planted any seed. Now, prayer is good, isn't it? Prayer is good. Granted, seed is planted. Yet God won't do that part. God won't do that part. See, we're talking about 2016. We're talking about expectation, talking about hope of what God might do. But we're also asking myself, God, what would you have me to bring to the table? What would you have me bring into the equation? It's not an issue of works. It's an issue of participation, just to make sure that on the human side, I'm lined up. Are we here? Just making sure, you know, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. Is there anything that you want me to release my grasp from? Is there anything you want me to add into the diet of the routine, as it were? Is there, you know, upping the word? Is there upping prayer? Is there something, again, to let go of? Are there new alliances to be formed? Is there a new way of doing this, a new strategy? We're just giving a God a shot. Giving him a shot at it. And when we hear, then we step in to that place. Okay? So, God's breakthrough is many times predicated on our faithfulness. Again, although not by works, but our faithfulness positions us to receive from his hand. There was a situation a couple of years ago where a man asked me to pray for his son, and I was glad to do it. Yet, he himself wasn't diligently planting biblical seed in him and actually was subtly encouraging a worldly and somewhat risque path for him. And so, again, there's nothing wrong with the prayer, but there can be a presumption that on the human side, there's not agreement and participation into the revealed will of the Lord. And I began to think, I thought, I'm going to pray, but I also was inquiring, have you brought anything to the table so that God would have something to work with? That's why we hide the word in our heart. The Holy Spirit is brooding and hovering. He wants to create, but he's looking for some seed and something to anoint, something to bless. Again, this is not works, okay? This is all in grace, but yet making that offering to him. And so I began to think about this situation, and I learned that not a lot had actually even been spoken. And I told him in grace with a smile, I said, you know, it's as if you're planting corn, but you're praying for cotton. So you think about it. If you plant corn, what are we going to get? Going to get corn. So can you imagine, you're not planting the seed of cotton. You're planting corn, and then you're out there going, where's the cotton? Pastor T, yeah, would you pray with me for cotton? That's what we do. We don't plant properly, but then we pray for breakthrough. Hello? See, it could be there's a new action. Just like Jesus, what would you have me do? You see, according to your faith. And so there's that degree of obedience, consecration, some common sense things. So I thought, would God give? I mean, is there any benefit in even praying for cotton with all that corn seed? Now, again, God can do anything. It doesn't mean that we're properly in a right place before prayers are offered. Prayers are offered because we're not in a right place. And thank God for prayers. Thank God for prayers that got me. Thank God for prayers that probably got you. All right. But still, there's something on the human side. Okay. So there's investment. There's skin in the game. There's faithfulness. There's stepping out. There's involvement. So I share all of this so far because I want to tee up another scripture that I actually want to highlight today, again, in view of stirring our hope for 2016. Now, in this text, we're going to go here in just a moment, in Psalm 65. In this text, King David makes a proclamation about the heart of the Lord and about the intention of God for us. And so I shared what I just shared because I want to encourage us to be ready to rev our engine and to pop the clutch and step into it by faith, okay? To actively step into it in an aggressive way and in a hopeful way and with eagerness and anticipation. David, speaking of God, said in Psalm 65:11, and I may have even referenced this a week ago, he said, you crown the year with your what? With your what? Goodness. And your paths, what? Drip with abundance. Now, the context is Israel. There were agricultural concerns. There were times and seasons of blessing, times of lack and want. But here, the king is declaring, speaking about God, you do this. You crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip. I love that. Drip. Drip with abundance. In the eye of your faith, see the Lord crowning your 2016 with goodness. You might say today, I've had a pretty tough 2015. It's in the rearview mirror. Okay. He wants to crown your 2016, but let's take that. Fight for that. Rise into that. Expect that. And contend for that. I want for us to collectively this year press into this truth. Want us to believe it. Y'all know God can't be anything other than good. Do a word study on the goodness of God. He's just so good. He's amazingly good. Only God is good. Amen. I shared at the prayer meeting Friday night how when the priests were dedicating Solomon's temple and they began to declare, for the Lord is good. And his what? His mercies endure forever. And again, they would chant collectively, for the Lord is good, and his mercies endure forever. And again, and as you declare it, it crystallizes. and it becomes real. Oh, for the Lord, you are good, and your mercies endure forever. And God so liked that declaration, so agreed with it, he couldn't withstand blessing and endorsing that declaration. He just said, I can't withstand that. Holy Spirit, just go down there. Just knock them out. Carpet time. Just the priest could not stand to minister to the Lord because that declaration was just so true. And God's in heaven. It's reaching his ears. He's like, yes, so true. It is so right. That is perfect theology. Holy Spirit, sick them. It is just so true. That's why we feel his presence when we worship. He inhabits the praises of his people because we're declaring true things about him. When we complain, the enemy of our soul can inhabit that. So we have a choice. Take that same energy. Honor God. Talk about his goodness. Even in a parched land and season, you want to make the enemy mad? Call God good when you're buffeted and blood's in your eyes and you can't see squat. You can't see out that window, that windshield. You say, I am punched drunk. I've had so much warfare on me. You want to make the enemy mad? In that context, smile by faith and say, God, you are good. You are good, bless God, and your mercies endure forever. And the enemy's like, what am I going to do with that? Where, O death, is thy sting? It's been swallowed up in victory. It's just like in the early church when they were threatened to kill him. Renounce your Jesus or we'll kill you. They're like, all right. They're like, oh, okay. Well, we've got no leverage. We have no threat because they're loving not their lives even unto death. We have no leverage to manipulate, to coerce. They're love sick and I can't unplug it. So I've got no threat to bring. If they don't care and they're abandoned to this good God, what else do I have in my arsenal? Nothing. Nothing to threaten them with. Even in drought, for the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. But I want us to believe he's crowning us this year, church. Crowning us. Believe it. Declare it. Rise into it. The Hebrew is literally the year of thy goodness, meaning a year remarkable for the manifestation of kindness, a year of abundant productions, a year of abundant productions, the favorable year of the Lord, adorning the year, crowning it. Some translations read, and your paths drip with fatness. Now, I know we're in a culture right now. January 1 is there. Oh, the gyms. Woo! Man, tell you what, January 1, 2, and 3, gym membership up. You know, I thought I could just join one. They said, no, you got to go. Oh, you got to go. I thought if I just join, it would just fall off. A lot like this message here. No, skin in the game. Kind of like Rice Brooks one time, this old boy was on a bike. He said, yeah, I'm going to shed 20 this year. And he was riding the bike, he said, I've been coming every day. He goes, well, how's it going? He goes, it really hadn't moved the needle yet. Rice said, you might want to pedal a little faster. I just kind of came to me, it was a little skin in the game, see. Our paths drip with fatness. That's a term of fullness. It's a term of fertility that God is marching through the earth, distilling beauty and abundance, production, fruitfulness, provision, harvest. Listen to the same text now in the New Living Translation. Love this. Love this. It says, you crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Can you say bountiful harvest? Goes on to say, even the what? Easy places? No. Even the hard pathways overflow with what? Abundant. That's all God has. He's not going to say, here, take this lack. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. So that's all he has to dispense. Our challenge is, how do I align with that hope, that promise? You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. A bountiful harvest. That means there will be more people saved this year than last year. There will be more folk delivered this year than last year. More people set free this year. More grace attending this year. He doesn't diminish. He only increases. The path of the righteous also. It's like the dawning of the day that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways. Woo-hoo. Love that. Bountiful harvest. Claim. Declare. Can we believe for that in 2016? Not a barely get by harvest. Not a just let me survive harvest. Or I just hope to keep my head right about here harvest. You know, no, an overflow harvest. Even in the hard places. The scripture reads, even the hard pathways overflow in this way. Think about the Israelites leaving Egypt. I mean, y'all realize when we read the Bible and we read these stories, it's easy to read, but it really happened. You know, yeah, and they walked out of Egypt and then the plagues and then, you know, I mean, but they really had to get up. I mean, wailing behind them of all the deaths that had occurred, you know, plague after plague. I mean, it really happened. It wasn't just twinkle, twinkle, little star. They were really inconvenienced. They had to get up, pack up. They exploited the Egyptians, and they left following this dude with a beard, hoping, I hope he knows what he's doing. So there they are, coming behind Charlton Heston, I mean Moses, you know, and just believing, we're trusting this is good. But, I mean, it's real. And they're leaving Egypt. They have come into a tight spot. The interesting thing is, though, in God's sovereignty, he's the one who brought them to that tight spot. You ever wondered about that? Daggone, this tight spot. It's tight. That's what a tight spot is. Tight. But we don't have a dual view of the sovereignty of God. God's my Lord, not the devil. So if God is sovereign, he's allowed this tight spot unto salvation and deliverance and unto a greater testimony. So they're in a tight spot. The powerful Egyptian army behind them. The mountains were raised on either side of them. Before them, the Red Sea. No way out. We all would agree, that tight spot. Here's how we have skin in the game. When the promise comes, like Psalm 65:11, we make sure that we're not holding on to a mindset that would challenge that, a negative mindset or mediocrity. We want to ensure we're not holding on to disobedience or fear, certainly not sin. We take inventory of our thoughts, attitudes, and actions. We adjust, we follow the Lord and his word. We keep a humble heart, a teachable spirit, until we receive. But God is honored by the pressing into the promise. God is honored by the alignment. God is honored by the expectation. For to those who come to him, you must believe in him and that he's a rewarder of those who, what, earnestly, diligently seek him. Even in the hardest of seasons, there is still abundance. Because our God is a God of abundance regardless. He brings forth that abundant life. Jeremiah, Jane just read it earlier. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in the Lord, whose confidence. That's really what faith is. What is faith? Confidence in God. There's a lot of teaching of faith. Not confidence in my confidence, not faith in my faith. What is faith? Confidence in God, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. And again, this next passage is interesting. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. In other words, even with hard pathways, he's still abundant. Even in hard pathways, he's still abundant. Even in drought, don't worry. That's our part to have skin in the game. Mark up, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. He's crowning this year, church. Here's the key. We want to believe that. To the one who believes it, we get it. It was like, that's just poetry. That's just Psalms. He crowns the year, you know, as like we're just reading any something else. No, it's to the one that it's real, that says, I mean, when the promise comes, like, bless God, I'll take that. I'll put that in my account. I'll take that. What does it mean to crown the year? I don't know, but sounds good to me. How about you? Practically, what does that mean? Not completely sure, but all I know is that's a good thing. It means we're tapping into his goodness in multiple areas of our life. We believe we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Isaiah 61, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, this is interesting. You say, well, when is it? What if I'm in the year of his disfavor? You see what we've done? The Bible says the people volunteer freely in the day of his power. Is it the day of his power? No, he turned that off years ago. It's always the day of his power to him who believes. Even in the dark ages, it was the day of his power. There was always a fire. There was always a flicker. To those who have ears to hear, how do I know if this is the year of the Lord's favor? You see, mental games. We say, no, this is the year of his favor. The Spirit of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God. Now, ultimately, there will be a culminating of the ages in Christ when he returns. We understand that. But there is a kingdom now. There are benefits right now. And so to all who, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. As we were fasting this year, we said we're fasting from food that we might feast on the Lord. There's an expectation there. It really is all on God. It's not works. Fasting's not works. Prayer is not works. Expectation is not works. It's just our role in the equation of partnership. He's called us into partnership. I want to crown you. So what we want to do is, if we hear that promise, I want to crown you. We want to get our head and go, have at it. Right here. Right here. I got some blessing I want to pour out. First in line. Get back. That's what we want. That's the spirit. Who knows what God might do? Are we here? Personally, collectively, in the marketplace, in our health, in our finances, in our relationships, and our city, and our nation. I reckon we need a little help in the nation. I reckon we need a little help in the world right now. Let's just stand up. I'll stop there. He wants to crown. He wants to crown. Just lift your hands to the Lord. I want you to take that. Just tell him, I take it by faith, Lord. Just say, that's me. I sign up for that. Tell him, I sign up. I want that. Don't pass me by. Don't just do it. Don't just visit Asia. Don't just visit Latin America and the way you're moving so powerfully, or in Africa. Lord, right here. How about America? Lord, how about me? How about in my workplace? How about in my relationships? How about in my marriage? How about with my children? How about with my finances? How about in my health issues? Why not? Lord, we say yes. We dare to believe for this new year, Lord, that you would grant your kindness. Lord, that our paths would drip with abundance. Why not? You're the God that's full, the many-breasted one, El Shaddai. You never run dry. You never give out. You are always constant. You're the ultimate giver of life. You're the ultimate giver of hope and all good things. Lord, where faith is wounded, heal it and enable us to begin again. Not obsessing in the rearview mirror, but looking out that big, broad windshield, going forward into the new. Into the new. Call not to mind the former things, for behold, I do a new thing. Now, Lord, just we step in front of the line and say, well, very well, I'll take that. I'll take that. I declare promotion in this room. I declare increase in this room. I declare healing and health in this room. I declare the ability to begin again. I declare where there are situations that are stuck, the unsticking of that. I declare, yes, dreaming the new dream, but even dreaming some old dreams. Lord, I declare the abundance of life and joy, gladness of heart and favor. And we say this is the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of the Lord's favor. And we just take it now by faith in the name of the Lord. We just believe you for that now, oh God, in the name of the Lord. An extra measure of your help. An extra measure of your love and ability. It's always been there, but we're signing up in an aggressive way. In an aggressive way. In an aggressive way. Before we dismiss, just turn to a neighbor and say, how can I agree with you in this? Is there something you specifically want me to add my agreement to? Let's just take a moment and just pray for one another before we go in this new year. Just add your agreement, add your faith, and just pray for one another for a moment. Just